Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome, everyone, to Blog Talk Radio and the Voice of Change. I'm Sharon Ann Wyckoff, and delighted to be with you again today and hosting Sharon Macer. The topic today is the nature of the feminine. Sharon has been interested in the divine feminine ever since she had a very powerful, illuminating, and uplifting insight about 20 years ago. Over the last 5,000 years, the feminine has been denigrated as sorely needed on the planet to restore well-being, harmony, and balance to all aspects of life. What exactly are the qualities of the feminine? Many times we talk about them, but really have no consensus about what they are. Sharon has a unique, integrated, and comprehensive way of looking at the divine feminine. So stay tuned for an amazing hour on this very important subject. The Voice of Change brings to internet radio individuals speaking out on pertinent aspects of life during these transformational times. During these programs, I interview spiritual leaders, enlightened teachers, educational professionals, visionaries, birth therapists, and artists. Guests share their perspective, their expertise, and their insights to support, encourage, and inspire new ways for these very changing times. These times, I believe, are asking us to live in greater harmony with ourselves, our loved ones, as with all on the planet. No longer can we live unconsciously. The time for conscious creating has come. And although there is much chaos taking place on the planet and in the lives of many, the potential for greater understanding, harmony, and healing has never been greater. This is the time to be open to new ideas, new possibilities, and new ways of handling old problems. Individuals, as well as numerous groups, are working diligently to bring about change on the planet. The journey into the new world begins with just one new idea or one small step toward newness. Let's begin anew in each and every moment. So I'd like to tell you a little bit more about Sharon before we bring her on the program today to speak about the nature of the feminine. Sharon began her spiritual journey in 1971 with practices of yoga, meditation, natural foods, and spending time in nature. She has explored numerous spiritual teachings and religious pathways, including Buddhism, Native American traditions, Judaism, Hinduism, Christianity, the Church of Religious Science, and the Goddess. She has studied the teachings of Byron Katie, Terry Cole Whitaker, Marianne Williamson, and many others. Ritual, intuition, expressive arts and movements, and women's circles have all been a part of her practice. Spiritual practice has been a continuing part of her life. She has been a student of humanity from biological, cultural, and spiritual perspectives, looking to understand what our true nature is. She did her postgraduate work in education, received a master's, and did doctoral work in women's studies. She also founded a nonprofit women's school of healing arts and sciences in 1985 and still directs it. So it is indeed a pleasure to welcome Sharon Macer to the program today, and I will put her on speaker. Just one moment. There we are. Welcome, Sharon.
Well, thank you. I'm very happy to be here.
Delighted to have you.
Oh, thank you. I was listening to your mission.
Yes.
And I just really appreciate what you're trying to do, what you are doing, and all that. So
thank you.
Thank that.
You.
Yeah, very nice, really.
Oh, thank helpful. You. It's just been such a pleasure to do that. And also, you know, to bring people such as yourself to the program who have such pertinent information for you know, for today's world, because we are so much on a planet that is in tremendous transition. And so the idea that you are addressing the feminine is so important. About 6 months ago, it was so interesting. I had you doing a show, and then two other people were on the show within like 6 weeks, and they were all talking about the feminine and different aspects of it. And I'm so glad we're doing this program, because you have a really unique way of looking at the feminine. So I just and thank you so much for being here. You know, can you tell us a little bit about, I understand you had a vision some years ago talking about or showing you about the feminine. Can you talk a little bit about that so we can understand where you're coming from?
Yes, I would love to. And you know, as you were talking, I'm thinking about, you know, it's really important for women to define themselves.
Yes.
Women to define themselves. Like, we can't have a man defining who we are.
Mm-hmm.
I hear men talking about the feminine, and, you know, I appreciate that, because at least it's on the radar now.
Yes.
And they can't be an authority on who we are. We have to be our own authority. So my experience happened a bit in the late 80s was what I would call a divine insight, because I don't know where it would come from. It happened in the middle of the night. I woke up probably around 4 in the morning. I was sleeping, living in an attic room, sleeping. Our bedroom was in the attic room at the time. And so it was very dark. There were no windows up there. I woke up dramatically, sat bolt upright, and I saw this. I saw these words written across the dark in bright pink, like a neon sign. And it said, and I heard the words too at the same time. It said, if you look at the female body, you can use that to understand much more greatly the other dimensions of the feminine that you can't see. You can understand the emotional, the mental, and the spiritual dimensions, perhaps not perfectly, but with a much greater understanding. So use these as a step, use the physical as a stepping stone. That was the
My gosh, and so this is what you're seeing?
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, and how interesting. Did you say, I think you said it was in pink, right?
It was in bright pink. Really bright pink.
So amazing. So it's saying to use the physical aspects of the feminine body to understand the feminine.
Right, because once, you know, I needed to understand the concept of manifestation, which was not a concept that I grew up being familiar with. I learned that it's a spiritual journey. Understanding that, then it made sense to me. It's like, okay, the feminine exists in the world as many things, and I only see it in the physical, or I do see it in the physical, but it's also an energy. It has to do with emotions. It has to do with thoughts. It exists on all dimensions. And if I understand it in its physical presence, then I'll have a much better awareness of what its nature is and what it's doing and why it's here and how it's helpful and what it's used for.
So interesting. So interesting. I know when we got together the other day, we kind of talked about this, and I found it just fascinating. Can you give one example? I know the other day we talked a little bit about curves, and we'll just look at it, because you take it into a very deep level when you do this process with it.
Well, yes. Can I step back?
Yes, please, of course.
Okay, let me explain the process a little bit, or what I came up with.
Yes, absolutely.
Okay, so after I had this insight, I got up and I got a legal pad of yellow, blank pad of paper and a pencil, and I was listing the qualities that I thought were important of the physical, qualities that define us as female.
Oh, interesting.
Qualities that make us uniquely women, noticeable. And I selected eight of them, which is totally arbitrary. You know, you might have come up with somewhat of a different list. But basically, we have the first thing that people notice about us is our shape, our curves.
Yes. And
curves to me was the first one, which was kind of surprising. But, you know, curves, and then we're soft. You know, men are harder, and that's noticeable to me.
Yes.
Then we have an opening. We have our vagina. We're open. We have, instead of having an external structure, we have an opening to an internal world. So we have an opening. We're open. It's open. And the opening leads to an important place, which is the womb, which is internal and protected and central. And so those are four qualities. Then cycles. We have our menstrual cycles are very defining for us as females.
Yes.
And the fact that we get pregnant, and more than that we give birth, to me it was the fact that we bear live young, a biological term, that we are pregnant for 9 months, that we have something or are capable of living with some other organism in a beautiful way.
Yeah.
That was significant to me. And and then also that we feed, we breastfeed, which I called nurturing. And the last one is that we have a larger corpus callosum, the part of the brain that is integrative, the part that where the information crosses from one hemisphere to another, the part that sees the whole picture instead of the focus. The male brain is a much more focused. When they go to get milk at the store, they just go to get milk at the store. But when we go to get milk at the store, we also get the laundry or the cleaning and pick up flowers for Aunt Mary. And, you know, we see a whole world going on.
Yeah, so we're very holistic.
Right, right, exactly. That's one of our qualities to me. So those are the eight qualities that I work with: curves, softness, opening, inner world, cycles, bearing, life, young, nurturing, and holistic, integrative thinking.
Beautiful. Well, those are certainly beautiful qualities of the feminine. And I think it's just amazing the way that, you know, you saw this vision in the middle of the night, 4 a.m., and it's said to look at the physical body of the woman to really understand the deeper qualities. Amazing.
Yes. And so what, to go back to your question, which is about the deeper aspects of it, I listed those, and then I took each word, like the word curves, and I wrote down all the words that I could think of that were associated with curves, not by example. Not an example of a something curved might be a ball, but by the qualities. I wanted to understand the symbolism of it and where it could go in my life. So I started looking at things. Curves wind, curves flow, curves are gentle, curves, they seem very beautiful to me.
Yes, yes.
They, in fact, what ended up happening was, and maybe we can come back to this, was I saw great beauty in all of these. And that's what affected me was I saw great beauty and I identified with, eventually I had about 120 or 130 words. Like
did this. You really? Oh,
yeah. And I loved all of them. I loved winding. I love meandering. I love curved. I love, curves are inclusive. They wrap around things. Curves are in relationship because they contain things and they exclude things. And curves shape two forms. They shape two things that are hard or soft. So they are relationship-oriented. There were many aspects of curves, and they were all just beautiful to me.
Oh, absolutely.
And, in fact, when I was working on curves, I became kind of I went into an altered state because what I discovered was curves were so beautiful and so powerful that it was affecting my state of mind, and it was I was becoming quite almost inarticulate. It was like being I was like a drug, kind of, the power of curves.
How interesting.
It was interesting.
It was
interesting, and it gave me a clue as to our power as women.
Oh, yes. 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 I know, it's just amazing when that we really get into something very deep and we just feel that, you know, that the power of the universe almost in that altered state. And what power women do have.
And, you know, it's, yes, and it's not like a personal power. It's not like, well, I'm going to choose to have curves and they're going to be like this or whatever. Curves are given to us. Curves are who we are. Curves are what we bring. And this power is what we bring. So it's not a personal thing. It's not an ego thing. It's more like, well, this is who we are as a subspecies, or I don't know, as half the human race, we're given this. And that made me also think, now why? And maybe that's something we can come back to.
Right now we can come back to it, but I just have to say that, you know, in the world today, and you mentioned this a little bit in the introduction you wrote up for this, in the world today, you know, we certainly are in need of this type of these qualities, you know, those that flow, those that are gentle, that are beautiful, that are inclusive. So, you know, we definitely need that. But I know you probably have more to say about that.
Well, I do. I have it's clear that the imbalance is horrific.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's hard to even open a newspaper or turn on a computer and see what's happening in the world. And it really is all about the lack of esteem, respect, integration, honoring of the feminine.
Yes.
It's all about that. And it's the masculine runaway. Without being connected to the feminine, which is the heart, which is the concern for people, which is compassion, which is inclusion, which is community gathering, people together, appreciation, gratitude, all that stuff, is the spirit is, women are, you can't bring life into the world and not feel the significance and importance of life and want to do whatever you can to nurture it. You know, it's just, it doesn't make sense to not be anything but life-affirming. And that the feminine has been so denigrated and so controlled and so put down that we don't even recognize what we're here for ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
And my work is really to help women understand their own beauty, our own beauty, so that at least we can start to value ourselves, have a way. It's kind of a systematic way of seeing who we are as women. You know, I mean, we're all individuals, and one might want to be an airline pilot and one might want to be a nurse, but still, as women, like our curves, we bring other qualities, by and large, to the planet.
Yeah.
And if we can discover them and like I understood from this experience how beautiful I think I am as a woman. A woman, and nobody can take that away from me now because I've seen, I've seen our beauty.
Oh, that's just beautiful, just beautiful. Softness is another quality. Can you talk a little bit more about that?
Yes, it's good. Bring me back to the concrete because I can go a lot of places with this. softness is the second quality, and softness is about love. Curves are about attraction, and that's love also. And it also makes things happen. It's magnetic. Curves, attraction is a magnetic thing, and it initiates action. That's why men are drawn to us. All we have to do is be ourselves, and men will come to us. We don't need to be aggressive. And we follow that up with softness, which welcomes people and makes them feel comfortable. You know, to me, softness, I think of my bed, you know, and pillows and couches and comfort and ease and being able to be myself and gentleness and being receptive and
yes,
those are to me, those are beautiful qualities.
Absolutely.
And they allow people to regain their sense of balance or their center. So I think softness is very, very important. And
mm-hmm.
it's not a weakness. Softness is not weak. Softness has great powers of restoration and acceptance and welcome. And that is powerful to me. That's not weakness. That's a strength.
For sure.
It's interesting, isn't it, to see where softness might be considered a weakness.
Yes. Well, I think it's just fascinating the way that you have taken these qualities and have gone into so much more than what they are. I mean, just that so much more than what you see. That's just beautiful to me. And I can just see how powerful, you know, this process is for the planet.
Uh-huh. Well, certainly peace is in softness.
Yes.
Quiet is in softness. Harmony, allowing, some vulnerability is in softness.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of a velvety quality. You
yes,
know?
Yes.
And to me, this is pretty beautiful.
Absolutely.
This is beautiful, and this is what we as women bring to the planet. And we shouldn't have to fight people to say that our quality of softness is beautiful. I guess if we recognize ourselves, then we can insist on that other people recognize us. Or if we feel good about ourselves, other people will naturally feel good about us. So our self
mm-hmm.
here as women is very, very important. Self-esteem as women, as individuals also, but the recognition that of how beautiful we are and how important we are, if there's a way we can enhance that ourselves and not wait
yes.
for men, then that would be a powerful force in the universe for change.
I think so, too. And then I think we'll be recognized just naturally as we act. And we know if when really comes to the place that they understand the power that they have as a woman, especially with these qualities that you've mentioned, and then just the standing in the world themselves, you know, as they are, they will be seen.
I think so. I think just becoming conscious of the beauty of softness and that it's a strength, doesn't that seem to you a shift in perspective, a shift in self-image?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
It's,
absolutely.
Uh-huh. And that's what we need. We don't need to become, you know, like men, to fight for something in their way. We can fight for it by being proud of ourselves.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And not, here's the other, another thing. And this is what, you know, when I was 16, I wanted to know what it meant to be a woman.
Interesting.
I didn't have a strong feminine identity, and it wasn't in my family. Things were very gender neutral, and education, and you know, that was kind of genderless. And you know, when I thought of the feminine, it was like, okay, women, fashion models, you know, hair beautiful, fingernails beautiful, red dresses. That's all a commercial.
Yes,
it's a commercial identity of the feminine.
Yes.
It's really what you can sell, hair products, fingernail polish, clothing. It has nothing to do with what the feminine is all about.
That is such an amazing point. Yeah, the commercial images are so different than what the feminine truly is.
And it distracts us because
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
We do love beauty. We do love, I mean, then that's a wonderful thing. Beauty is very important in life. Without beauty, I think we'd go crazy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think that's why we listen to music all day, because we need beauty in our life. And so the beauty that they offer commercially gets us all into a whole different, it sidetracks us. And we don't
Absolutely.
Understand then the deeper beauty that we're here for. And And our attractiveness is really to serve a greater purpose. Our attractiveness is to serve the nurturing of life and the sustaining of life and creating family, creating celebration, creating play, creating those things that nurture our families, our children, our communities. That's why men are attracted to us, because we have the message that says, hey, let's love life and let's love each other and let's play. Let's not go to war, you know, let's not fight with each other, let's party. And let's learn and let's create and let's be cultural and let's make fabric and have texture to life. And let's share the glory of our relationships. Those are the things that we are here to guide humanity to treasure and to do, not just to be sexual objects of beauty for male pleasure. Where does that go?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
It doesn't go anywhere.
So,
you know, so this to me takes us back to understanding our softness, that there's a greater purpose. There's a strength in it and a greater purpose in our softness and in our and in all the other qualities.
Absolutely. We have just a few minutes before our halfway point and our musical selection. Can you talk a little bit about opening and inner before we go to break?
Yes. These are the depths. This is the depth of the feminine. This is where we as individuals go in our feminine side. We are open. We are open-minded. We are open-hearted. We are open spiritually to all beings. One author called it spacious as the sky. You know, we don't have labels and blocks, and you have to go through this channel and that channel. We're very open, and the openness leads to the inner world. And that's a very important world for us to be connected to, because without that inner world consciousness, we don't grow. And if we don't grow, we are stunted. We die. It is our natural way to grow in life. And the way that we do that is by connecting to our inner landscape, our inner world, and through our intuition, through our emotions, through our psychic tools and our emotional tools. Those are the information systems and the guidelines for which we know ourselves and the inner plane. And
so beautifully put.
Those give us depth of being. Without that, we're just kind of skating on the top surface, external factors relating to the outside world. But if we're not relating from the depth of our inside world, then our relationship is very shallow and not very meaningful.
And that is so much needed on the planet today, you know, to counteract the male traits. And I think, you know, it's not that the feminine wants to take over, but, you know, if they become a little bit stronger on the planet, then they're going to be able to interact with the qualities in a more equal way. So what wonderful qualities for us to really talk about and bring forth to balance the planet.
Yes, and we'll see after the break, we can, you know, let's talk a little bit about childbearing and relationship and
absolutely
and cycles and look at the significance of those.
Excellent.
Okay, good.
So we're going to take a little break here, and I just want you to know you are listening to The Voice of Change. I'm Sharon Ann Wyckoff, and we have Sharon Maser with us today. And Sharon teaches the use of transformational tools, does private and group workshops in conscious personal expansion and growth, and we'll share her contact information when we come back. So our piece today that Sharon and I have chosen is Creating a World, and it is by Jeffrey John Whitebear. A beautiful, beautiful selection. Listen to the way that he wants to see our world. Jeffrey John Whitebear, Creating a World.
Mm-hmm. 5 years I've lived on this land called America. Parents taught me how to be a good patriot. 45 years I've lived on this sacred land. I learned the language, learned the way, learned some fun of the history too. What I wasn't told as I was growing up was all the cause for me to be here. Well, I'm not saying I need to lay any blame. I'm not saying I need to feel any guilt. Right here and now, I'd like to proclaim, we are creating a world where our people are loved. We are creating a world no longer run by fear. We are creating a world where our beings are held with the sacredness of a newborn child. Hearing about this place called Afghanistan sounds like a very different land, don't you know? One man is a terrorist or is he a patriot? Depends on which side you're looking from. But we're all made out of the same earth, water and air, sun and spirit, all is fair. We all are made of love. We all are made to feel, we all are made to heal. We all have a unique gift of the mystery to share. So let's share it. We are creating a world where our people are loved. We are creating a world no longer run by fear. We are creating a world where our beings are held with the sacredness of a newborn child.
And that was Jeffrey John Whitebear, Creating a World. I just love his music. He's in the Northern California and is able to do presentations at events. Jeffrey John Whitebear. Well, welcome back to the Voice of Change. I'm Sharon Ann Wyckoff, hosting Sharon Mesa today, talking about the nature of the feminine. Welcome, Sharon.
Thank you. I'm happy to be here. Still here.
Yes. We're continuing on with the eight qualities that Sharon's talking about, and the next two are what, Sharon?
Well, cycles was the next one, but cycles is important because cycles are about growth.
Yes.
Our masculine culture is very linear. You know, you're heading in a direction and you want to go there, and you may fall off the trail and get back on, and that's their form of spiritual model. It's like you go from here and you want to get to heaven, which we don't even know if heaven exists, but you do that by being very pure. And the model of the feminine and the model of women's spirituality is that of the cycle. So we all women have cycles, and cycles show up in the world are in growth, like a tree. Every year it adds a new ring around its girth.
Right.
It grows, and it grows in cycles, and we grow in cycles. That's the only way we can grow. We grow annually, you know, and we have growth spurts, and we have our life cycles and our annual cycles and our daily cycles. Cycles are something that we, and growth, both, are neither of those have been attributed with much importance in our culture. And, of course, growth has to do with inner work, and that hasn't been very much, as we said, a part of our culture. Our culture has been externally oriented and direct accomplishment of a task, you know, build a bridge or whatever. When you build a bridge, you're not thinking about cycles of things. But in life, in human life, cycles are phenomenally important. So, because it's our way of growing. So that's a very powerful feminine quality. And maybe we'll come back to it. I'm going to let it go now, because the area that compels most women's attention so strongly is relationship.
Yes.
And would you say, would you agree with that?
I think relationships are hugely important in the lives of women, and I think for the most part they're pretty good at them.
Uh-huh. I like that. Yes, I would agree. And I think I'm not going to say there's a biological reason for that, but I think that could be true, in that we are innately, naturally capable of sharing our life, our body, our life, with another being.
Mm-hmm.
And to mutual benefit. And that must mean that it has to be beneficial, because we both want to survive. It's, you know, a child enhances my life, I enhance the child's life.
Yes.
And so what are the qualities that are involved in being pregnant for 9 months? Well, some of them that came to me immediately when I was writing down was cooperation, collaboration, sharing. I share my oxygen. I share my, you know, everything, my body, all the chemicals of it, my space. And I do so lovingly.
Yes.
So I am, for 9 months, in relationship with somebody I don't know. I don't even know if I'll like them, you know. I don't know anything about them except maybe what I intuit. And but I have a harmonious relationship, beneficial relationship with them. Excuse me.
Sure.
And so,
yes, this is so important, because cooperation, as you say, and relationships are just essential in the world, as with a mother.
Well, aren't they? Because how can we nurture a child if we don't have good relationships with everybody, basically?
Yes.
You know, with our, not just our partner, who, that's so important, so, so very important, how that,
yes,
our relationship with our partner affects our child, even while they're in the womb.
Absolutely.
It determines their cell growth. And when parents don't get along, the child recognizes it, even on a cellular level, and responds. It can't articulate it, but it has a response, and it becomes, children that are with dysfunctional parents or unloving parents become angry, they become depressed, they act out, they become psychologically delayed development, they call that, developmental delays. So the being knows right away about the relationship with the mother and the relationship with the father. And then how could we bring up a child in a family or a community where the relationships aren't good? We intuitively know that all our relationships we want them to be good, even if we don't know how to do that.
Yes.
So I think we, as you say, we naturally have the skills. We naturally have the skills at good relationship. And they include, you know, just to add to the pot a little bit, togetherness. They include generosity. They include concern. They include compassion. They include connection. They include being a person that I respect myself, so that I can share who I am with other people, you know, being honorable. They include consciousness of the greater world. They include spiritual consciousness. They include unity, a concept of union with other beings. There's so many things to me. I don't know what comes up for you when...
Oh, I'm just so amazed how deeply you've taken these qualities, Sharon, and brought out so much. And as you said at the beginning, it's so important for women to know the power that they have innately. So I just think this is an amazing process you've gone through.
Well, I'm so happy to hear that. You know, and that is my hope. That is my hope that women will, when I finally do get this published, that women will see the mirror of themselves in a way that only really women can, only we can authorize ourselves. And each woman must look at this and see who they are.
Yes.
Well, not must, I can't say what people must do, but if we look and see who we are, we
yes.
will find great beauty. All these qualities are beautiful.
Absolutely.
And won't that enhance who we are in the world?
Oh, definitely. And it will enhance the world. I mean, as I said at the beginning of the show, when you did your first show several months ago, you know, right together there was three people talking about the feminine, and you have such a unique way of presenting it. And I certainly hope, you know, you say you have a book and you're in the process of getting that out, because I think the timing is just perfect.
Yeah, I think it's, I hope there's a hunger for it. I feel like there is
mm-hmm.
a hunger for it.
Mm-hmm.
And a need for it to be expressed from the feminine as authorities on ourselves.
Absolutely.
Not by what men are willing to say about it.
Mm. You know, earlier when you mentioned that, the importance that we are authorities on ourselves, I also wanted to say that this is the same thing in the area of giving birth. You know, the doctors many times have been men, and it's not that there's anything wrong there, but women also have a different compassion, a different, as you say, different qualities that bring into the entire process of birthing. And I've done many shows here with Karen Melton, who comes from this point of view. So I think you're just so right on that this women have to really stand for the qualities that they have in an innate way.
Well, I like what you're saying. You know, it's like we're giving birth to ourselves.
Yes. Oh, that's a beautiful way of putting it.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
I mean, using that phrase really, you know, that is what we're doing. And, of course, it's a new time. We're not going to, you know, I've studied a lot about the past to understand what happened to women. And we're not going to recreate the past. We're going
mm-hmm.
to move forward. So we do need to give birth to ourselves as who we want to be, who we feel good about being. And
absolutely.
And I so hope this information is useful to people. You know?
Oh, I think it is. We have some people in the chat room now, too. And I think it truly is very important. Let's see. We left off. Did you talk about the seventh one, breastfeeding and nurturing? Probably so. And then
no,
the eighth
I didn't.
Is not really. Okay.
But I think
they kind of merge together. It's so interesting, you know, just as you spoke about the inclusiveness of women, the qualities intermerge, too.
They do. I was struck by that as well. And actually, when I had this whole list in front of me, two pages of words,
yes.
It helped me become an integrated person. I became integrated because I understood that my need for union with things, my need for silence, to sit in silence, my
yes.
love of puppies and children, my desire to be creative, my love of beauty, my love of harmony, all these things all of a sudden became an integrated whole in self-concept as a woman.
Yes.
And that was a very beautiful, that was a birth for sure.
I can imagine.
And very, I became integrated. I can't tell you how good that felt to me.
Oh, I can imagine, though, because you really, you know, I sense the depth that you took these, this experience and the depth that you've gone to this, and I can see what that might do to someone. Beautiful, Sharon.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was like my soul came together.
Yes.
My the part of me that's who I am in the world, not the purity of my spirit so much, but the beauty of my soul, what I offer. When I think of soul, I think of maybe foods I like or how I like to spend my time. It's a little more
yes.
personal than spirit is. And my female part is certainly a huge part of my soul.
Yes. Well,
just even liking fabrics and flowers.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
yes, yes.
All the fruit, that's all soul stuff to me, and it's very much related to nurturing. And nurturing is one of those integrative qualities. As you bring that up, it shows up everywhere, actually. All of the qualities nurture us. All of, you know, our inner life nurtures us, doesn't it? You know?
Of course. Absolutely.
And doesn't the beauty of curves and softness nurture us?
Mm. Absolutely, absolutely. And what I think is so beautiful is that, you know, you mentioned earlier that you actually do workshops in this so that you can help other women to nurture themselves.
Well, that's, yes, it's a very loving thing to do for me,
mm-hmm.
to help women love themselves.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So.
Let's see, we're down to probably the last one here, the integration.
Integration is, I think I did mention something about that, but along with nurturing, nurturing is integrative for us. It's integrative in a positive direction. It helps.
Yes.
It gives us a positive way to grow and to orient. And the what happens is integration, and integration is related to wholeness. Wholeness, which interestingly enough takes us back to circles and curves, because the completed curve is a circle, and then you have a whole. But the whole is composed of parts, like the whole of our community is composed of different individuals like you and me, and we're working together to create this radio show. And just like the parts of my body is a whole, but it's created of parts, of which all are equally important. You know, the heart is not less important than the stomach or the lungs, or the kidneys, or the muscles, or the bones. All the parts are unique, they're different, they contribute. Without our muscles, you know, our heart isn't really that much good.
Yes,
and
yes.
That I see as a metaphor for a community, or for the world, actually, is, you know, that's the feminine point of view, is to strive for an integration of all the parts, where each is valued and unique and esteemed and loved and cherished and thanked and made known. And I know some traditional Native American people have this belief too, because I was reading in a book about a Hopi elder who was a healer who said, you people are... you know, believe in separateness. We
mm-hmm.
we know the presence and absence of each person.
Mm. Wow, that's powerful.
Isn't it?
Yes. Yes.
It's very, it's so, to hear that to me is so nurturing. It's so, makes me feel safe, makes me feel secure, like I'm known.
Yes, yes. And that each person makes a difference. Each person's presence is unique.
Yes, and adds to the community,
mm-hmm.
adds to the bouquet.
Yes.
Each person is a beautiful flower. And,
mm-hmm.
you know, who wants, I mean, all roses are nice sometimes, but to be only all roses all the time, that's pretty boring.
Yes, yes.
It loses its sense of beauty. And, you know, that's about, I often think about our addiction to celebrityism, and when there's some people that are real celebrities, there's all the people that are watching them be celebrities that are couch potatoes, and that's not right. I think we're not meant to have celebrities. We're meant for each person to fully activate their life and be the subject of their own drama, their own story, and that's about what we're just talking about, the recognition of each of us as someone important. And that is the process of, if we recognize how important that is to us, that integration, that wholeness, our whole world, our whole culture, and all the parts of it are important, and we acknowledge each part, we will make people feel so much more like they belong. And depression will pretty much disappear, in my opinion, you know.
Yes, yes. Yes, if people are really recognized, that would make a tremendous difference. Sharon, can you tell us how people can contact you if they're interested in knowing more about your work or perhaps talking with you or, you know, having kind of a session?
Sure. Well, I have a website which is called truthwork.net, www.truthwork.net.
Mm-hmm.
And that talks about some of my work. And I have the nonprofit website is womenschool.org. So they can find out something about my interest there. And I can be reached at SharonMaser@gmail.org.
So that's Sharon, SharonMaser dot, Sharon
right.
Maser at what?
Gmail.com.
Okay. And then your women's school, it's just women's school, womenschool.org.
Right.
Excellent. And then your other website is truthwork.net. Excellent.
Feel free to contact me.
Please go ahead.
I just want to know that for people to feel free to contact me about this, and if I can be of help in any way, I would like to do that.
Excellent. So we have just a few minutes left here in the program. Would you just kind of like to give us an overview or perhaps some ending thoughts about the nature of the feminine and all these qualities that you've talked about in such a beautiful way?
Well, when you ask that, I go global, you know. I wish we had some kind of sisterhood, and I've been thinking lately about maybe trying to form one. A national sisterhood of women who are just aware of our, aware of our personal strengths as women and who are united in that and just, and who are can know that other women are out there too. So we're all working on the same thing, no matter what our color is or our culture is or religion is. Underlying all that, we're all women.
Yes.
And we all have this orientation to the world of protection, sustenance, nurturing, health, well-being, wellness, wanting people to be happy. And
yes.
And so while we're working on this individually in our own lives, to be aware that we are kind of a sisterhood, a global sisterhood, that are when we're all working towards that. And I think knowing that must give us some kind of confidence or power or support. Because, and ultimately, who nurtures women? Women.
Yes.
You know, who
yes.
are we going to turn to? We turn to maybe God or goddess or spirit, but ultimately, you know, we can't go to men for nurturing because they really can't do it. We're
mm-hmm.
the ones. So we have to turn to each other.
Yes,
and if we do
yes.
this consciously some way, then that will augment what we're doing. And
absolutely. What a beautiful idea to have like a sisterhood. And, you know, we have quite a few people who have come and gone in the chat room, and we have several here now. You know, this would be a great way to make a connection with women, perhaps, and, you know, perhaps have some type of an ongoing connection with them. And maybe they can, you know, start something in their own little cities. nurture women and talk about the qualities, because the feminine does have such power.
Yes, I think that is, you know, it's coming to seem like a really good idea to me, and I've just been thinking about it in the last few days, and I've been wanting to call it the Sisterhood of the Rose, because the rose is the symbol of love, and really, really, that is what we are about. We are
yeah.
really learning to love ourselves, learning to love other people, learning to bring more love into the world. So maybe a Sisterhood of the Rose will develop.
Mm. Yes, yes. And I know when I was at your home the other day, you saw some beautiful pictures that are so feminine. And I don't know if you've put those on your website, because I know that you're getting them into some local shops up here in Northern California.
Well, you know, I haven't put them on my website, but maybe that's a really good idea. I need to do some web work, but they're pictures of the feminine, and they include roses and forms of the feminine, and they have they're very powerful, attractive images.
Mm,
so
absolutely.
I will try and get on that soon.
Oh, that's wonderful. Well, this has been an amazing program, Sharon, and I just thank you so much for putting this together and sharing your vision and all the information about the nature of the feminine.
Well, thank you for giving me this opportunity. It's really very meaningful to me to be able to spread more love among women, more self-esteem, and to share this with the world. So I want to really thank you for this opportunity.
You're so welcome. You're so welcome. We'll have to do another program.
All right.
Okay. Thank you again.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
Bye-bye. Mm-hmm. Bye for now. I want to let you know that Sharon Macer can be worked again, can be reached at www.truthwork.net, T-R-U-T-H-W-O-R-K, or her work at the Women's School is at www.womenschool.org. And her email is sharonmaser@gmail.com. That's SharonMaser. The Voice of Change has many programs that are archived on the website. Just go to blogtalkradio.com/voiceofchange. They are all archived there for your listening listening pleasure. Next Friday, I'm going to have Kurt Abraham return to the program, and we are going to be talking about the seven rays and the and how that is related to the soul. So here on the Voice of My Change, it is really my intention to nurture the journey of personal and planetary change through these programs. If you are involved in any such work, please contact me to be a guest on the program. I invite you to know that this is the first day of the rest of your life, and I invite you to live it with love and gratitude. I'm going to end the program with just a clip from Jeffrey John's piece, Creating a World. Enjoy.
We